Hey, look who's here. Welcome. This is the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 513. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. If you're a first-timer, welcome. If you're a longtime member of the family, good to have you back. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We read the Old Testament on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and the New Testament on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We'll conclude 1 Corinthians today by reading chapter 16 from the New American Standard Bible, and we'll begin 2 Corinthians with the reading of chapters 1 and 2 from the God's Word Translation. Are you ready? Let's begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save, as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I am going through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work, as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints, that you also be in subjection to such men, and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunaeus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The greeting is in my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, he has to be accursed. Maranatha, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and from Timothy our brother. To God's church in the city of Corinth, and to all God's holy people everywhere in Greece. Goodwill and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus are yours. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father who is compassionate and the God who gives comfort. He comforts us whenever we suffer. That is why whenever other people suffer, we are able to comfort them by using the same comfort we have received from God. Because Christ suffered so much for us, we can receive so much comfort from Him. Besides, if we suffer, it brings you comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, we can effectively comfort you when you endure the same sufferings that we endure. We have confidence in you. We know that as you share our sufferings, you also share our comfort. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be ignorant about the suffering we experienced in the province of Asia. It was so extreme that it was beyond our ability to endure. We even wondered if we could go on living. In fact, we still feel as if we are under a death sentence. But we suffered so that we would stop trusting ourselves and learn to trust God, who brings the dead back to life. He has rescued us from a terrible death, and He will rescue us in the future. We are confident that He will continue to rescue us, since you are also joining to help us when you pray for us. Then many people will thank God for the favor He will show us because many people prayed for us. We are proud that our conscience is clear. We are proud of the way that we have lived in this world. We have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity, especially toward you. It was not by human wisdom that we have lived, but by God's kindness. We are only writing you what you already knew before you read this. I hope you will understand this as long as you live, even though you now understand it only partially. We are your reason to be proud, as you will be our reason to be proud on the day of our Lord Jesus. Confident of this, I had previously wanted to visit you so that you could benefit twice. My plans had been to go from the city of Corinth to the province of Macedonia. Then, from Macedonia, I had planned to return to you again in Corinth and have you support my trip to Judea. You don't think that I made these plans lightly, do you? Do you think that when I make plans, I make them in a sinful way? Why would I say that something is true when it isn't? You can depend on God. Our message to you isn't false, it's true. God's Son, Jesus Christ, whom I, Silvanus, and Timothy told you about, was true, not false. Because of him, our message was always true. Certainly, Christ made God's many promises come true. For that reason, because of our message, people also honor God by saying Amen. God establishes us, together with you, in a relationship with Christ. He has also anointed us. In addition, he has put his seal of ownership on us and has given us the Spirit as his guarantee. I appeal to God as a witness on my behalf that I stayed away from Corinth because I wanted to spare you. It isn't that we want to have control over your Christian faith. Rather, we want to work with you so that you will be happy. Certainly, you are firmly established in the Christian faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I decided not to visit you again while I was distressed. After all, if I had made you uncomfortable, how could you have cheered me up when you were uncomfortable? This is the very reason I wrote to you. I didn't want to visit you and be distressed by those who should make me happy. I'm confident about all of you that whatever makes me happy also makes you happy. I was deeply troubled and anguished. In fact, I had tears in my eyes when I wrote to you. I didn't write to make you uncomfortable, but to let you know how much I love you. If someone caused distress, I'm not the one really affected. To some extent, although I don't want to emphasize this too much, it has affected all of you. The majority of you have imposed a severe enough punishment on that person. So now, forgive and comfort him. Such distress could overwhelm someone like that if he's not forgiven and comforted. That is why I urge you to assure him that you love him. I had also written to you to test you. I wanted to see if you would be obedient in every way. If you forgive someone, so do I. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did in the presence of Christ for your benefit. I don't want Satan to outwit us. After all, we are not ignorant about Satan's scheming. When I went to the city of Troas, the Lord gave me an opportunity to spread the good news about Christ. But I didn't have any peace of mind because I couldn't find Titus, our brother, there. So I said goodbye to the people in Troas and went to the province of Macedonia. But I thank God, who always leads us in victory because of Christ. Wherever we go, God uses us to make clear what it means to know Christ. It's like a fragrance that fills the air. To God, we are the aroma of Christ among those who are saved and among those who are dying. To some people, we are a deadly fragrance, while to others, we are a life-giving fragrance. Who is qualified to tell about Christ? At least we don't go around selling an impure word of God like many others. The opposite is true. As Christ's spokesman and in God's presence, we speak the pure message that comes from God. May God bless the reading of His Word. Are you aware of the fact that the church, and I'm not referring to one specific local church or even a denomination, I'm talking about all of the church, which is made up of all the believers. Are you aware of the fact that that church is made up of imperfect people? You are? Well, good, because I don't want to be the guy that bursts your bubble. Yep, whenever people are involved, there will be difficulties. People mess up. Sometimes there are what might be considered minor infractions, and sometimes there's just going to be major sins. Yeah, I know, big surprise. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul addressed a major sin that was happening there in the church at Corinth. There was a man there who was married to his father's wife. It was an incestuous relationship, and Paul chastised them for not dealing properly with the sin. In fact, they were not dealing with it at all. Paul even said that they were being arrogant about it, accepting of it. He told them that they should remove the man from their fellowship. He said, quote, "Hand such a person over to Satan to destroy his corrupt nature so that his spiritual nature may be saved on the day of the Lord." Do you remember that? Okay, well, good. Are you aware that we Christians sometimes do that today? Thing is, as far as I know, it rarely happens in local churches. You know where it does happen quite often? When a prominent, well-known Christian's sins are exposed. Then we ostracize him or her. We destroy them. We cast them out. In my years of podcasting, I've been blessed to have gotten to know several Christian recording artists pretty well. And I've heard more than once how this person or that person lost a career because the church found out about a sin in their life. You say, well, Steve, isn't that what Paul told the Corinthians to do? Isn't that the biblical thing to do? Well, let's take a look at chapter 2 from our reading today. In the first four verses, Paul reminds them of the fact that he told them that he had wanted to visit them. But then he said that he didn't come because he was distressed because of the situation with the incestuous man. His previous writing to them about this was done tearfully, and he was deeply troubled and anguished. Now let me ask you, is that how we feel when we find sin in the life of someone we hold in high esteem? I'm not so sure it is. And then Paul goes on here in chapter 2 to say that, quote, "The majority of you have imposed a severe enough punishment on that person," unquote. It's enough. So now what? Paul continues, quote, "So now forgive and comfort him." Such distress could overwhelm someone like that if he's not forgiven and comforted. "That is why I urge you to assure him that you love him," unquote. Let the person know that you still love him. After he's been properly rebuked and after he's dealt with the sin in his life, let that person know that you still love him. Don't let him become overwhelmed, because then the enemy has a chance to come in and keep him from being restored. My friend, I have seen that happen to more than one person because we don't take the extra step of reaching out to them once they've dealt with the sin. We continue to rub their noses in it. We won't forgive them, and it's shameful. On our part, we should be ashamed of ourselves. How can we claim to represent a loving God who is faithful and just to forgive if we don't forgive? How can we expect to be forgiven for our sins if we won't forgive the sins of others? Your thoughts? Let me hear from you. Steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow we'll be back in the Old Testament. Will you join me? You know, my friendly editor gets it. He understands the value for value model of support. What about you? Does the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible add value to your life? If it does, I'd like to humbly ask you to take a look at support.lifespringmedia.com to see how you can be a part of the support team. I'd be especially honored if you'd do that. Thanks for being here today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.